friends. Welcome to episode 8 of the Geeks Next Door, the Ocho. It's the Ocho tonight. Good job, everybody. My name is Chris. I'm here with the four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, virtually, of course, sitting across from me. Who's got a question tonight?
I'm Donatello.
Ooh.
That's actually good.
That's a good question, actually.
There's not enough of this. There's four of us. There's five total, so.
We could double up.
I'm Casey Jones.
There you go. You got a hockey fucking hat.
I'll be Splinter. He's a rat. Question. I would say, what is your favorite classic Dungeons & Dragons monster?
Ooh. So classic? Or just any, basically?
Yeah, any. But, you know, it's like when you think of Dungeons & Dragons to you, what do you think is, like, the best monster?
Sure. I like it. Okay. Let's go alphabetical. Dave, too? What do you got?
Oh,
sorry, Adam. Suck.
All right. I'm not going to top Ryan. I don't have six. But there's two that I really enjoy.
Six monsters? That's a lot of monsters that he likes.
A lot of monsters.
So there's two. For obvious reasons, I love Swarm of Rats. The Swarm of Rats. You know, just throwing a big...
This is not magic. This is a fucking...
D&D. I like it.
It's a they are classic. How many times you get low-level characters starting off in a city and they come across an alley, a dark alley, and boom, there's a swarm of rats. Ah! So that's kind of fun. But my ultimate favorite one's...
Well, hang on. Let's not rush past the swarm of rats.
Swarm of rats here.
I didn't see that coming. Honestly. Yeah. When you said obviously, for obvious reasons, I was like, I obviously never thought of that as a...
Yeah,
to me, it's not a normal D&D character.
It's a monster.
I remember they were super hard because they weren't affected by mind affecting spells.
They're swarms
because they're swarms.
Yeah, yeah. Swarms sometimes kind of cool. They take very little damage from actual like weapons and stuff like that.
Yep.
It's just kind of interesting.
That's interesting.
Very challenging.
For
low level characters. You know, you get a wizard who doesn't quite have that burst, kind of spell yet. Maybe except for like chill touch or something crazy. I don't know. Ryan, you're the wizard. You can understand that.
See what I'm imagining. That's for low levels. I think we should get like a swarm of Tanari that are fucking epic levels. So you gotta, so they're resistant to everything and you can't hit them cause they're swarm type. Yep. Yeah. That's what we need.
There you go. but my all time favorite that I love, working in some way, somehow,
unicorns,
or even playing
magic unicorns,
is the Revenant. It's a later edition monster / even PC.
Describe it for us.
You basically got to fight a bear, I think.
You can only play as
somebody fighting a bear.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Revenant forms from the souls of a mortal who met cruel and undeserving fate.
Thanks,
it claws
Dave.
Its way back.
Appreciate that.
Jumping in. I'm like,
that's one of Ryan's six.
Ryan's down to five now.
I was just reading. Color.
Revenant is an undead creature. As Ryan was saying, it's someone who has passed away, immortal, due to a cruel and undeserving fate, and it comes back to the world to seek revenge against the person who wronged it. So it reclaims its mortal body sometimes it can
poltergeist
come back in a different body, resembles a zombie,
like a body.
But instead of like lifeless eyes, it there's intelligence there, and rage, and they, you know, they're unstoppable. They have one goal in mind, and that's to get whomever set them wrong, whoever did them wrong. So
it's kinda interesting. So cool. You like that because you love revenge?
Yes. There you go.
So don't
roll and
Dave.
Swarming things. And so Dave loves swarming things and revenge. Okay.
Okay, that's cool.
We could do a psychological breakdown on why we picked these characters very specifically.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah.
Let's not do it about Dave, though, because I don't want to get killed.
He's going to stop riding with me on Wednesday or Tuesday nights.
That's right. Cool. I like it. What about you, Ryan?
All right. So I have a handful, but I'm going to stick to the top two for now. So the first one.
Swarm of Rats.
kobolds.
What the?
That's crazy.
Seriously?
I think kobolds are, they're not strong, but they kind of have a ton of flavor. They build societies. They like do little mischievous evil shit, and you can go and just kick their asses, and it's lots of fun. Yet when they get enough of them together, it's like, oh shit, you know what I mean? Kobolds are classic, man.
They are. This is why you play Twitch, isn't it? You fucking love little douchebags.
They're little douchebags. I think you get a lot of little douchebags and fun ensues. You know, so I like the idea of kobolds.
What the fuck is a kobold?
Yeah.
Kobolds are reptilian humanoids that worship evil dragons, apparently. And they serve as minions and toadies often. So they inhabit dragons' lairs and infest dungeons, and they gather treasures and trinkets and build up their own little hordes. So they're kind of like a little annoying douchebag creatures that kind of like do what they want and are a little bit evil. And there's lots of them. I kind of think of them as like gremlins in a way. You know, they're pretty sweet. Gremlins are pretty cool.
Sure. They're all scaly, kind of dragonkin, right?
Yeah. So that's my first one. My second one goes, that's like the weak version. The second one is on the stronger side, is the lich.
Go figure. It's not a mage.
A wizard that transcended death. What are the odds?
Yeah. It's like a wizard that escaped death and sort of like doesn't care about anything except for like power and is sort of an undead super wizard. There's two reasons. You can, as a wizard, you can aspire to one day be a lich, which is kind of fun. And as any PC, you can have a great villain who happens to be a lich as well. So you can have both. You can both want to be a lich and want to destroy a lich. What a versatile, awesome thing that is.
That's just weird.
You with me, Dave?
100%. It fits your personality to a T, both of those things.
Yeah, that is
it's true. Really
awesome. Super annoying, but in the end wants to be undead and all-powerful.
That's me. I'll put that on my gravestone. Super annoying and wants to be super powerful.
The best book I ever read about him, I don't remember the name or where it was, but they described him as wizards like solving puzzles, and death is the ultimate puzzle they try to solve. And so they don't necessarily do it for evil purposes, but once you're undead and you've been alive for so long, you stop caring about everyday stuff.
Kind of. Right.
Yes, I like that. You captured more of the magic than I was able to, Chris. Well done.
I do. I'm good at magic. Wood.
Ryan having to pick spells as a lich.
Oh, God.
That's the reason Ryan became a lich, is to live forever, because that's how long it takes him to pick spells.
Classic Ryan takes forever to pick a spell when he levels up.
Okay, cool. So, I like it.
Yeah.
What you, Adam?
All right. This creature seems about the size of a pony.
Ooh.
It has
a pony.
Four insect-like legs and a squat, humped body protected by a thick, lumpy hide. Anybody?
No, I think. What do you think, Ryan? You got it?
I don't know, actually.
Umber Hulk?
No.
Three Kin?
It's... No. Ooh. Its tail is covered with armored plates. And
is
the
a boulet?
End,
a boulet?
No. And the end is a bony projection that looks like a double-ended paddle.
Oh, it's a rust monster.
There you go.
What
creature
the
sports
fuck?
Two long antenna heads and
see,
one beneath
each. Didn't see
each.
It coming. Did
you didn't
see
that
it coming. I'm
what
shocked.
The fuck do you like about a rust monster that just destroys all your equipment?
That's the crazy part. The fact that there's a monster out there that eats all of the...
PC's stuff?
PC's, like, equipment just is pretty cool to me. The fact that it lives off of, like, metals and whatnot. Plus, I like the fact that it kind of... It can equalize a party. So if you have a fighter that's super, super heavy in armor and he's getting whatever, not getting hit, he can get equalized.
Just throw in a rust monster. Just carry something in your pocket and be like, ah! Wow, we're getting some interesting answers tonight.
If I had to go with the second monster, what's the one that eats magical items?
So you like monsters that eat people?
I know. Like, that's pretty classic.
Well, they can all eat magical items.
Yeah, there's one that's like a pluff or something where it comes
like
and
Zarin.
Yeah,
or something. It's like a rust monster except for it only eats magical items and gems.
Why do you want to destroy people's stuff?
Well, you know me when I like
revenge. He likes to destroy.
Yeah,
things.
It pretty much fits exactly with. If there was a set me on fire monster, he would just take that.
Or jump off cliffs monster.
Cool. I like the answer. Good job. Right. Okay, let's see if you can get mine. Let's see here. They're large. It's a large rubbery sphere of molted gray and brown. Six arms projected from its body. Three were tentacle arms, and three were jaw arms, ending in mouths of many teeth. It's 40 feet long, retractable, flexible eye stalks extend only 3 or 4 at a time, well away from harm.
Deep spawn?
Yeah!
Of course.
So that was from Elminster's Ecologies that came out in 94, which is a book I really fucking loved. It was actually a box set. Remember when they had box sets and inside you got like 4 or 5 kind of smaller books and a bunch of maps? The reason I liked it because they did shit like that. It like painted a picture of the creature. Fifth edition blows for painting pictures of creatures. You look at like descriptions of creatures, you're like, I don't know, buy the figure and then show the pieces fit the figure. So
there's no imagination.
Yeah. So what I liked about Deep Spawn is they're super intelligent. In second edition, they were, or 3.5, sorry, they were super geniuses, 17, 18. And basically what they do is they eat shit. So if they eat kobolds, then they can produce kobolds. And the kobolds run around and protect their lairs and stuff.
Oh, if that thing ate a rust monster.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
They eat dragons and spit dragons out at your fucking town.
Is it not in the 5th edition monster manual?
I don't even think it's in the 4th edition.
4th edition. I don't think so either.
I haven't seen it in a while. Yeah.
Like, that's a complex one where it's like, how do you build like an encounter around that thing? You don't. You build the counters around the things it eats.
Right. So, yeah, that's what basically it does. And it's kind of cool. What it does is it eats things, and then it spawns them off. And each spawn possesses the learned abilities, class levels, spells, and spells known of the original, but retains only dim memories of its former life and isn't otherwise just a spawn loyal to the deep spawn. So if you got, like, an adventuring party, let's say there's a 6-level adventuring party of a fighter, a rogue, a sorcerer, or we'll say wizard because sorcerers blow, a wizard and a cleric, and they're going down and they're trying to fight a fucking deep spawn, and he kills them and eats them, he can now produce adventuring parties to go protect his lair, which I think is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Would they level up? You think they'd level up?
I don't know. That's a good question because they get their former levels, but would they level up? I don't know. I'd allow it.
Because then, if he wanted to, he could just create, is it one copy? Or can he make multiple copies?
Yeah, no, he can make as many as he wants, but it takes a while. It takes like, I think it's like 46 days or something to make something. So it has to be there for a long time to put in the work.
So if he just had a party, right, and he just had that party kill another party every 46 days later, and then gain those levels, a 6-level party kills a 6-level party, they're going to get a decent amount of experience, and then go out and do their own stuff, and then come back 46 days later and kill this next party.
Yeah, I don't know. What I like I said about them is that not only are they just they're big monstrous creatures, but they're super intelligent. So they're going to do what's best for them. So yeah, they're going to try to fucking eat baby dragons and reproduce baby dragons and whatever's best for them.
Is it automatic that those spawns are loyal to the deep spawn?
Yeah.
They're basically, they're like a vampire spawn. How vampires are always loyal to their masters to a point. The same thing.
Did they die? I can't remember. Do they die if you kill the deep spawn? Or they... Because they're not free.
I don't remember. It doesn't mention it in any way. At least not with stuff that I was looking at. So that would be a good house rule right there.
Right.
My honorable mention is an aboleth, which is also like this big underwater, big gelatinous fish-like creature, but again, is super intelligent and likes to enslave creatures. So...
Huh. So that's very interesting.
Slavery, revenge, destruction. Was I annoying undead? And we got to find out what Dave is.
What do you got, Dave?
All right. Are the scourge of sentient creatures across countless worlds?
GIF.
Nope. Nope.
What the fuck? That was not much of a...
All right. You're ready? Psionic tyrants, slavers, and interdimensional voyagers.
Okay.
They're insidious masterminds that harvest entire races for their own twisted ends. Four tentacles snake from their octopus-like heads, flexing in hungry anticipation when sentient creatures come near.
Very nice.
Mind flayers.
The Lithids.
Yep, the Lithids.
The creature's so nice, they named it twice.
Yep. I just like the fact that if you no one's there, it's probably already too late. If you figure it, like in an adventure, if you figure it out, oh, it's like, oh shit, this must be a Lithids. Yeah, they already know that you know, and they're ready for you because they have tons of slaves, and they're ready to send them all at you. Oh,
mind attacks and...
Right, the psionic powers that just... They're just awesome. I just think they're so cool that they just want to eat brains. Yeah. And they want to get more intelligent. Brains. And they're all a huge collective.
Yeah, that, I liked 4th edition where they got into the psionics, so you could actually give them specific psionic attacks and stuff.
Right.
So you have a Lithid that's high level, and they have psionic attacks and probably mage attacks or mage spells.
Yeah.
And then they'll just eat your brain, too. So they can get fucking vicious.
Absolutely. Yeah,
they're pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. Okay,
it's secondary.
Oh, you got a secondary, damn.
Secondary. Beholders.
Trademarked TSR.
I know. But Hasbro, they're so great. Oh, beholders. Just the fact that it's like, they're super powerful. You can't sneak around them. And they're just giant floating eyeballs that like shoot like energy weapons and lasers all over the place and turn you to stone, paralyze you, set you on fire. Like the number of things they can do is so high. And they're also in charge of a huge bunch of guys that like
slaves.
They make slaves of everybody.
So you like Chris to be like, slavers.
Yeah, I like enslaved. Chris wants to be super powerful and have super intelligent. I just want to make everyone my slave.
Okay. Yeah, interesting story about Beholders is I wrote a module for publication about Beholders. Because everything was open source. They're like, you can use whatever you want. And it got, it was long. It was like 20 pages. I was getting into it. I had all the stats. I was ready to go. And I was looking up something. I realized, oh, wait. Beholders are one of two creatures that Hasbro or Wizards of the Coast
or Wizards, whatever. Yep.
Does not allow you to use as an open source material.
Oh, what's the other one?
I forget. I looked up, there was two of them. It's a Beholder and something else, because apparently they claim credit for the creation of it, which I don't know how you do that, but whatever.
I thought there was a couple of them.
It said, like, when I was looking at Beholders, like Gary Gygax's like brother or something. Or someone's brother, created it.
I guess that transfers to TSR and to Wizards and to Hasbro in general. Yeah. All right.
That's
cool.
That's pretty cool. Well done. I like it.
So we got...
Cobalt, so.
Yeah. It's also interesting that we picked, higher level dudes. And Adam and Dave, you guys picked kind of lower level dudes. Well, Ryan did, too.
A Revenant can be, pretty...
Yeah, a Revenant can be as high as you want to make it.
I'm sorry. You're stuck with Swarms. You're going to be a Swarm man for the rest of my life.
Oh, just wait for another month. You guys are in trouble.
With swarms everywhere. Okay, cool. Let's get going.
This is when we turn up the party. All night feels good. We can't decide. This is when we turn up the party. All night feels good. We can't decide. Turn up the party. Turn up the party. Party. Party.
Okay, what do we got to talk about today besides Game of Thrones? Because we want to keep Ryan with us for a while.
Oh, yeah.
So Game of Thrones, right?
Right. So because of last week's, to let everyone in on something, every month, because we play D&D, play whatever games or whatever, at the end of the month, we have a rotating thing of who gets to pick what kind of game or go see a movie or do something that the group does. And Ryan decided on his day that we should all play Minecraft.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
And some of us say, I went in and going like, ugh, it's Minecraft. How much fun can it be?
It's a kid's game.
And then other people, Adam, went buck wild into this thing.
I did not go buck wild.
He's like, ugh, I don't know if I want to play. I don't have time to play another game. And then every single night I see him on building something, going like, I'm going to jump off this cliff. I'm going to build a saddle so I can find a horse. I'm going to build a giant tunnel and make mine carts.
You do have the best tunnel so far, Adam. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, the more I play, the more fun it is. Like, why are we having fun with something like this?
So, yeah, it's so...
It's like a backhanded compliment of the game.
It's not exactly, like, a game that we would expect to latch onto. It's really isn't. For our age category, this is
not even our age category. It's like, normally we like games that have a decently high skill cap, like usually like require a decent amount of strategy. This is okay. You go and click on things and I got a bunch of rock. Now I'm going to turn this rock into stone and I'm going to build this castle.
Well, for me, you know, what I enjoy about like MMOs, like World of Warcraft or other games like that, is I enjoy playing with other folks online, and I enjoy crafting. And the whole goal of Minecraft is to use your creativity and just craft the crap out of things and make things. And to me, that's exciting. You know, digging a tunnel down to the lowest levels, you know, I think last night Chris showed us, Chris got us down to a level that you can't even mine. It is like zero level.
Yeah, Adam did that after, like, at 3 a.m. apparently. So
I did that this morning.
You were supposed to be sleeping.
The search for the elusive ore and diamonds and all that. It's fun to me and enchanting and stuff. So that's my draw to it.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. It's interesting you bring up MMOs, because crafting is a huge part of MMOs, and it's similar. I mean, it's obviously not as complex. I don't know. Maybe it is. Apparently there's shit we haven't even done yet, like brewing potions and stuff. So it's very similar, actually, and that's a big part of MMOs, so it's not surprising that you're drawn to that portion of it.
Yep.
Hmm. It's cool that the auto-generated world, that's all unique. Something neat about that. You can climb to the top of a hill or a mountain and look around, and it's like, it looks pretty neat, even though the graphics are kind of... It's interesting how the pseudo-crude graphics, where it's like blocks, if you zoom out enough, it looks pretty sweet.
Yeah.
You can manipulate all of those blocks, so it essentially says... when you do that, when you zoom out and you know you can manipulate everything, it's basically a completely... manipulatable world, where I would say most games, even the ones that try to do their best at being, you know, modifiable, don't come close to Minecraft. You can't destroy the ground in most games. You can't build wherever the hell you want. You know, take like Fallout, you can build your settlements at set locations, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you can't dig. So I think there's something cool about the complete mutability of the place. It's like, do what you want. Make what you want. It persists. Hey,
if I want to make an island, I can just go out and make an island. Right? Hey, right, Ryan?
Wait, he never finished it. We have a trench around it, but he never filled it with water. So
I'll get there.
Yeah.
It's true.
I said it before. For me, there's two things. Actually, there's several things. But the first one is building shit with friends. I mean, Legos with friends is fun. And while we could all get together and play Legos... our Lego collection is probably pretty low right now, and it's not as handy as just logging onto a computer and playing block Legos with each other. So that's fun. It's plus also, what's that, Adam?
Oh, I'm sorry. Plus, you never want to mix your Legos in with anybody else's.
Exactly. You can't initial every Lego. Jesus Christ. I also like that there's an unknown element to it. I know very little about what's happening. So the other night, we're like, let's just put this fucking obsidian up and Ryan, start this on fire. And we're like, oh God, cool. So we go to this other dimension and I'm like, let's leave. This is scary. Let's leave. I don't want to die. I don't want to lose all this shit. Let's leave.
Many times Chris was saying, Ryan, we got to go. Ryan, let's go. Ryan.
And Ryan, so there's still a lot into it that I have no idea what it is or what to do with it. But it's cool, and I am not mechanically inclined. That's why I'm like, Adam, you should build a railroad. I don't want to. I'm not mechanically inclined.
But you finished the railroad.
Right, but I don't have pressure plates done. I don't know how to do that crap, or pistons and all that weird stuff. So,
a lot of redstone for pistons.
Well, we got a lot of redstone, that's for sure.
Oh, God, we got a lot of redstone.
So to answer your question, I think, I don't know, I think it's just a stupid, fun game, right?
I agree.
So one of the good questions would be, why aren't we playing, like, Rust? Everyone recommends Rust after that, because Rust is moddable. It's a survival game like that. You play with friends. I don't think it has the complete moddability like Ryan is talking about, where you can cut down everything and build there. I don't know. I've never played it before. So
thing is, I don't really even care about the adventuring thing, like going out and getting more. So I just care about like building things and then smashing them and building thing and smashing them. It's like you play with Legos. You build something. You're like, I get an idea, and you spend like a bunch of you spend like 20 hours building a Veritech fighter out of Legos. And then you're like, oh, I'm done with this. I'm going to put it away.
Right.
And then it's done.
And this world is infinite, so you can do it anywhere. You can do that anywhere. You could just start walking and build wherever you wanted. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot to it that I think is interesting.
I don't know. By the way, I used to play back in the old days, and I didn't play ever multiplayer. And I think multiplayer adds a lot of different fun to it. Because building was fun before. You're like, I was proud of, oh, I built this cool keep, and it had windows, and it looked nice, and it was mine. But now it's different cool when I start building something. In the meantime, I turn around, and Adam's got, like, flowers decorating the place. And then I go to the back, and there's, like, down. Well, yeah.
Chris puts
good.
Banners up everywhere.
Yeah. So it's like everybody's contributing. It's almost like a collaborative art thing. I'm not saying our stuff is so beautiful it's art, but in a way it's kind
of
like,
of course it is.
Okay, our shit's so beautiful it's art. Okay, I said it. But
well, art is
but,
anything,
you know what I mean?
So.
But it's the collaborative process that you're being creative and it's fun.
It's very organic, I think. The fact that
like
somebody
organic,
like well, Chris built a castle. And Ryan has his little thing going on, but Chris is way bigger, so we all run to that and, like, start building in that. And then, like, my train tunnel runs from pretty close to that. And
I gotta give Chris props to that, by the way, because I'm pretty sure the fact that you built a castle is partially related to me saying, oh, shit, we'll start playing, and I probably won't log on for a while. The next time I come on, Chris will have built a huge castle. So I logged on a little early this time. I was like, there's a bunch of huge stone walls and stuff. It's starting to look kind of like a castle. So I logged on just in time. You hadn't quite built it, but you were almost there.
It's a matter of 24 hours.
It wasn't 24 hours. But
it was
12. Like I said, I'm not super... what do you call it? Creative when it comes to building structures. It's going to look like a castle because that's what I know. I don't know how to build something cool and circular that goes up and does weird left turns and stuff. So it's going to be a goddamn castle.
Square building. That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's good.
Towers. Go.
Towers.
we don't need to know why it's fun. It's just important that it is, you know.
Oh, right.
But that's what spurred the conversation, is like, why is it fun to you?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's weird.
So the interesting thing that I've noticed is that, like, talking to younger people like Jackson or even younger than that, most of those kids do not like to play survival mode. They only like to play the building mode.
Oh, the
and
freeform mode or whatever. Yeah.
The freeform.
Creative.
So it's very interesting to me that I don't think we'll ever turn off the survival mode, because I like that aspect, the fact that you turn around and there could be a monster behind you, or the goddamn creeper gets
Adam,
too close to the base.
Adam brings a creeper into the base and blows up half the castle.
No, that didn't happen.
Just twice.
But forgot to close the door again.
Close the fucking door. Were you bored at a bar?
That was terrible.
Yeah. That was not me.
It's always you.
No.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Oh.
Yeah, so I turn around every time.
No, I know what you mean, because when you start the server, right, you can choose between creative and survival. And I don't... Yeah, to me, I want some sort of element of chance or, you know, something. So,
and even
well, and there's the whole resource thing, right? Because in survival, you have to go and find your resources. In creative, it's unlimited. It's
right there.
That's true.
So for the younger gen, you know, for the younger kids, it just makes it easier for them because I've got everything that I need. I got all my Legos in one spot, and I can build and craft everything that I want right away. So,
yeah. I would agree. Yeah. So yeah, go back to 2009 Minecraft. And start playing Minecraft that came out like 7 years ago.
Hey, feel Ryan, like Ryan. Does it make you feel weird that like you're a really smart guy and know how to program and you could be sitting in a $1 billion house that Notch built and or that is awesome?
Did he build
but you didn't Minecraft do it?
Things?
I feel like it doesn't make me feel weird. It makes
like you could be a billionaire.
Angry. No, actually it is funny. There's tons of people that I think there's a lot of luck involved in these things too.
Oh sure.
Like lots of people get loaded because they do something that's great, but it's also timing that's, you know, really lucky. I've seen it a lot. You look at all these super smart dudes. A lot of times they kind of got lucky too with the timing. Well, not trying to take away from Notch. He did a good game. Props to Notch.
Connections and marketing.
Well, yeah, it's like Dota and League of Legends. I mean, Dota in some way is a superior game. It's got and maps shit, but League of Legends is the default kind of esport now. So why is that?
Right.
Marketing, or is it that the game is more stable? There's a lot of things that go into it. A lot of luck, I think, goes into it.
I think the barrier to entry on Dota is a little higher. I tried playing, and the fact that you can not only last hit your minions, you can last hit their minions. You can also last hit your own minions to deny things, and just that extra little skill was above my pay grade.
Yeah, there. It's definitely not as intuitive. I remember some guys on stream wanted me to play it, and I was like, "What am I? What's going on? This doesn't make sense. Give me a map that's the same, and I'll know what to do."
Hey, speaking of League. What happened with the MSI?
Woo! CLG!
Right. Did they win?
They destroyed G2. It's still going, but they destroyed G2. So all those fuckers that are like, EU better than NA, you can go screw yourself. North America beat Europe, like, dominated them last night.
But
like,
you did see that G2 was all like, yeah, we don't really need to practice. We're going to go on vacation.
I know.
Who does that?
Oh, well, prior G2. To the matches?
Yeah. G2 basically, like, they said, hey, we're gonna, you know, we've been working really hard. You know, we did really great. You know, we're awesome in EU. We're gonna let our people rest. We think that'll be the best for us. And it was the complete opposite of the best for us. Instead of going to boot camps and getting themselves ready and prepped and, you know, playing real hard and going over strategies and looking at, like, you know, team films and stuff to see, you know, how pick and bans go, they took a break, which, you know, for some people, it might make them do way better to take breaks. This did not do. It was the complete opposite.
How many games have they gone into it?
I think there was two a day.
Was there? I went to bed at like 3 last night, and everybody was 2-0. So they're either, or the top two were 2-0. So they had played 2 games. So if they're, I don't know if they're 4 or 3 right now.
Wait, is it just 2 teams playing this thing?
No. It's each region. The winners from each region plus a wild card. So there's 6. I think there's 6 or 8 teams. One of the two.
So in round 1,
it must be 8.
Round 1 was NA versus EU.
No, that was the third game.
Yeah, it's round robin to begin, and then they'll pair them up and split them down.
Yeah, so you get usually the winner, but not necessarily the winner from each division. Europe and there's a Turkey one, or is that the wild card?
Yep, no, there's a Turkey one, and then whoever wins from Turkey, basically, the guarantee is it doesn't have to be that team, because Turkey is relatively new, that region can get, whoever gets that gets whatever that spot in the bracket. It doesn't have to be them.
Right. And then China and Korea have different ones. I don't know, it's interesting. I don't know who's in, I mean, you can pull it up, but I'm SKT is just probably dominating everybody.
Actually, right now, it is Royal Never Give Up, RNG is 4-0, Flash Wolves is 3-1, SKT is 2-2, CLG is 2-2.
Who the fuck did SKT lose to? Oh my god.
Supermassive is 1-3, and G2 is 0-4.
Whoa.
Yep.
Let's see, SKT won Supermassive day 1, SKT, RNG beat them on day 2.
They're playing well then, because I don't think they're as good of a team.
Right.
I don't know. It's fun. Invitationals are fun. International Invitationals, because I like that one, guys. Like, everyone who's a TSM fan has to get behind CLG because you need to support NA. It felt like a Democrat-Republican thing. Yeah. Bernie didn't win, but get behind Hillary. Yeah.
Wow, hey, Trump won. Let's get behind Hillary.
speaking of that, speaking of a vote, just quick, did you see what Maine is trying to do, Ryan?
Yeah, I saw that. I respect Maine.
Maine is basically going to have a vote on getting rid of superdelegates.
Seriously?
Actually, they're going to, same thing, but they're going to require them to vote along the lines of the people's votes.
Yep.
So what?
Based on percentages.
So then they're not superdelegates anymore. They're just regular delegates.
Yes. They're basically saying, like, okay, if you win 60-40 and you have 10, 6 have to vote this way, 4 are going to vote the other way, you know, to directly represent what the will of the people.
Huh. I'm fine with
I thought that was very interesting, that the fact that was, people are pissed off enough that it's actually going to happen, or at least going to try to happen.
Right.
I like that too. I like change for better.
So what that dude? Oh, Trump. So Trump is going to be the nomination probably. And we don't need to touch much on politics, but Amy mentioned the thing that he sent out today. Everyone see that? The Cinco de Mayo thing?
The
Reddit went crazy. I love Reddit.
Like Hispanics or whatever.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. What did he say? He said, "Happy Cinco de Mayo. The best taco bowls are made in Trump Tower Grill. I love Hispanics." And it's had a picture of him eating a fucking taco bowl. Like, how is this happening?
Yeah, it's
well, that makes it's sense. Also, like, a tweet I saw later that said, "Hey, I called Trump the Trump Grill. They don't serve Taco Bell. Bowls.
They said they called and they don't sell them there." But it's just like, where the fuck says that? I don't know. He's terrible.
It sounds like it was made from like a generated like Trumpism. Like, that doesn't sound like a real thing. Like a Trump robot, like, blurted that out, like three sentences that were loosely related.
Yeah, that makes more sense, but that's not what happened.
Oh, Trump. I love the guy. He makes me laugh all the time.
Yeah.
He's a terrible person, I think, at the same time, but he's entertaining.
Yeah. So it's interesting that there's 4 major holidays right in a row now. We got May Day, which everybody knows is a major holiday.
Yep.
Cinco de Mayo.
Father's
Day. Why am I even getting there? Star Wars Day. Oh. Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo. This is Revenge of the Fifth.
Revenge of the Fifth, right.
And then Mother's Day, all in 1 week.
Wait, Mother's Day, what's that?
Say hello to your mother for me.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Say hello to your mother for me.
So, anybody do anything cool for Star Wars Day? The best day of the week.
I responded to your Facebook.
Just because it was your anniversary? What?
What did you do? Oh, it's the best day of the week because you got laid. Yay! Yay! Adam got laid!
Do you see him going like,
happy anniversary,
Adam. Adam did get laid. Never mind. It's not his birthday. Don't go crazy.
Right. So, Adam, does Jordy celebrate Star Wars Day?
As her anniversary, I'm guessing.
As her anniversary.
Like, you can have 2 days that are great. You can have on the same day. Did she watch Star Wars?
She didn't watch Star Wars yesterday. I did.
She may have heard some of it.
Yeah.
I had to make sure that I got a little bit of 7 in.
I was gonna go like a lot more onto your Facebook post of like you're like, lay it to my Han. There's a lot. We could have written a whole diatribe about.
Oh, I know.
Been like, yeah. So eventually your kid's gonna grow up and stab you through the chest, and you really don't like each other that much.
Oh yeah, because you eventually. No, they love each other. They just can't be with each other.
No, that's what I said. They just can't be in the same room. They just don't like each other.
Ugh.
Can't keep me in one spot. I need to get out and travel. Sorry.
Right. Adam's just like, I got to drive. I just got to FedEx around, lady. You can't keep me chained up in one place.
I got to go get some, what the fuck was he hauling? I forgot what he was hauling. remember.
Those fucking murder monsters.
Yeah, whatever they're called. Whew, that's pretty bad. I don't know.
Tenabget. No.
I don't know. All right. But well, whatever he was hauling and ate everybody except
Wrathgars.
He did
Wrathgars.
Wrathgars. Yes.
Wrathstars.
No, Wrathgars. Like what's a Wrathgar?
Swarm of Wrathgars.
Swarms. Yes. Yeah, they're swarms.
Ooh,
swarm
of Wrathgars. That's a new one. I'm gonna write that one down.
Stuff. Written down. So you're attacked by a swarm of Wrathgars.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of League of Legends, I was watching Nightblood this morning and. There's a thing, I don't know if it's in the development server or if they're going to make it, they're just trying to make it permanent or what, but, or maybe it was just a custom game. I don't know what he was in, but there was an option that let him take a vote to normalize gold. So basically they were up by like, they were winning really bad. And it said normalize gold and they all voted. So it normalizes the gold amount. It gave everybody the exact same amount. So the other team got like 24,000 gold. So if you're killing a team and you want it to be more competitive, then they just got a shitload of more items and you're basically just going to team fight.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting.
Does the other team have to vote on it too? Because that's
nope,
kinda...
they just get it.
Because you can see it as being kind of a dick move too. Like if you're like superior, so one, you're kicking their butt and you have more money. And then you later on like rub it in their face and say, all right, let's equalize gold. And then you kick their butt again. I mean, can you do it multiple times and like never kill their nexus? Just like keep owning.
Yeah, I could see it also be like a nice trolling thing. Like you're in their base, you destroyed all their stuff, and just before you destroy their nexus, you're like normalized gold, and you just give them a ton of gold. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, we destroyed your stuff. Here's a bunch of money. Have at it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most games are snowballs, so you get way far ahead. So it'd be interesting to all of a sudden they get all that money. Snowballing's gone. It's just. You're going to go fight on equal terms.
Yep, I like that. I mean, I like it. I think it's interesting. I guess I don't think I'd click that button. If I'm winning, I want to – let's finish this.
You know, like, so you went from I really like it to that's interesting to yeah, never mind.
I would never use it.
Oh, no, it's kind of like the same way Ryan's like, I kind of like Trump because he's entertaining. Oh, I don't actually like him.
I would never vote for him.
I like the idea. I think it's interesting. I don't think I would take advantage of it often because I'm never confident that I'm going to win, you know, like even when I'm winning. So I'm like, we got to finish this shit. You know, I wouldn't be that cocky.
Right.
Oh, don't be cocky, kid.
Whoa. Ryan, holy crap. Coming out with a little bit.
Name that movie, Ryan. Where did that quote
come from? Name the movie. He knows the reference, but does he know the movie?
It's some Star Warsy movie.
That's unfortunate.
All right, so you guys ready for tomorrow?
Oh, you don't even know how much I'm looking forward to the movie. We could be there right now, but you guys are all old and stuff. God damn.
I like being old. As I'm wrapped in a blanket.
Adam, I hate you.
I like being old. Let's get back to Minecraft.
Get off my lawn, my Minecraft lawn.
Damn you, kids.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that movie. The first trailer, I was telling Dave the other day, the first trailer, I thought it was okay, but I was a little upset that, you know, I don't want to watch them fight each other. That's not cool. But the second one made it look more organic and more interesting. I think it's going to be a fucking good movie. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to go on a limb and say it's going to be amazing.
Well, what movie are you talking about?
I still think there's a third party that's going to be kind of driving the behind the scenes on this. You know, we haven't seen we've seen some like Crossbones a little bit, and I think that's what begins the movie. But where's Zemo? Baron von Zemo. You know,
Zemo's alcohol.
Zemo.
Zemo. Yes, we are talking about Captain America: Civil War. No one has actually said what we were talking about. Just
people know.
They should just know.
Figure it out. Well, wait a minute. We're supposed to talk about a while ago. We talked about magic, and people were like, "Well, you should kind of tell people what magic is and explain it to them better."
I'm just talking with you. But Civil War is going to be really good. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So yes.
We'll review next week.
How big of a role do the X-Men actually play in Civil War in the comics?
In the proper?
Yeah.
Oh, like a lot.
Yeah.
So, from what I understand, X-Men are not going to be in this movie.
Right.
They can't.
It's just going to be Black Panther, Spider-Man, you know, a couple of the Avengers type of thing.
All the Avengers?
Right.
All the, well.
Except for Hulk and Thor.
Yep, Hulk and Thor.
They're too powerful.
Fuck that. Right. Where are they going to be?
What happened? They're off doing their own movie?
Stuff. Yeah, they're off doing Ragnarok.
Right. Captain America movie.
The last Captain America movie?
Yeah, I watched it. I just want a little refresher because it was Winter Soldier.
Right.
It's Winter Soldier, the one with Bucky.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, Winter Soldier. Basically, there's a guy going around killing people, and no one knows who he is. He's Bucky Barnes. Basically, he fell off the train in the first Captain America movie, captured by the Russians, given a badass cybernetic arm, put into cryogenic freezing, and would only be unthawed to do cool stuff. You know, they'd be like, oh, we need to assassinate this guy. Boom. Let's unthaw him. Let's do this. Let's do this.
He is actually Captain America's best friend.
Yes. Yep.
Right hand. Right hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remember, they're starting to... Hydra was starting to cultivate, what they call them? Miracles? Is that what they call them?
Yep.
They could call them mutants or what's the other word? Metahumans. They call them miracles or something like
that. That was the like kind of creepy like magic doers that were like in a cage or something.
The Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch and
Quicksilver.
Quicksilver. Yeah. Okay. She's going to be in the movie a lot, I'm assuming.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did Bucky get freed in the last one or how did Bucky...
Remember, they fought on the helicarrier. Him and Captain America fought on the helicarrier. It fell into the water. Captain America's drowning. Bucky pulls him out and then walks away.
Yep.
So and there was like Bucky a moment of like goodness scene there, but
yeah,
not official. You know,
yeah, no, Captain America didn't kill him because he's like, I'm not going to kill you. I know you're still in there.
It's the classic thing where it's like someone's beating you in the face and it's all like, oh, I'm not going to hit you back. Right.
And you got to remember earlier in the film, well, maybe Ryan doesn't remember, but you know, there was the scene where Bucky was starting to get his memory back and he was questioning what he was doing and why he was doing it. And, you know, Hydra kind of just walks in. Redford's character just kind of walks in, wipe him clean and start it over.
Yep, just starts the brain over.
Yeah.
That happened before the finish or he?
Yes, before the finish, yep. Like partway through.
So you kind of already had a hint that the true Bucky was in there and he was trying to come out.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Was this the one where there's that big computer, old-fashioned, Nazi underground place, and they blew it up and everything?
You're going to have to watch this movie again, man. Put after Game of Thrones, then you can watch the movie again, then you can go and see it, and then you can talk to us about it.
No, it's coming back to me a little bit. I have images of it flashing.
Who's the actress that plays with Scarlet Witch?
Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah, it's it's the youngest Olsen sister who's not a twin.
I didn't know there was a third.
Yeah, like the Full House ones are like all crazy, weird, psycho. She's completely normal in the one that everyone's like, oh, she's pretty cool. She's just a nice person.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I don't know. I'm okay with that character.
Is Quicksilver going to be in it?
Quicksilver died.
Didn't he die in 2? Yeah, he died in Captain America 2. I mean, it's a comic book movie, so who knows?
Right. But I think, I don't know, because I'm not Josh Whedon in directed Age of Ultron. I think he was killed because of Quicksilver being so popular in the X-Men franchise, because technically he's an X-Men, he's a mutant, and he's an Avenger, so like they both have the rights to him.
Sure.
So you're going to get weird, like, the cross where people don't know which one he is. Is he this guy that was super cool in like the X-Men movie where he could run really fast and was super funny, or is he going to be this guy? If we just kill him and kind of eliminate that whole arc, you know, now he's dead. Now we don't have to worry about him.
Yeah, because the last X-Men movie, he was in that, right? He's Magneto's kid, and he's the fast Magneto. He's Quicksilver. And so you basically have two universes with the same character, and I can see it confusing people. Yeah. Like Ryan, he's like, what the fuck's going on? There's an X-Men movie?
So we know.
Yeah, that's at the end of the month,
right? We know the
Scarlet Witch. Is Scarlet Witch a good. I thought she was a good guy.
She is now. She was a bad guy because that's the whole thing about the Civil War is every big movie that's come out, there's been some huge catastrophe like Avengers. Boom. New York is, you know, a big chunk of New York destroyed.
The incident in New York.
Yeah. Like, second Captain, Winter Soldier, Washington, D.C., the shield, all that stuff gets totally destroyed. Age of Ultron, Sokovia gets totally messed up and destroyed, you know, and that big fight that took place in South Africa, huge, big bunch of stuff destroyed. Now all the governments are kind of going like, yeah, these heroes kind of just run around and do whatever they want, and...
Which is no stupid regulation. To me, because, hey, if we wouldn't have helped with Sokovia, guess what? The world would have blown up, so go right. fuck yourself. That would be my answer if I was Captain America.
Right, and that's what Captain America's yeah. saying. It's like, yeah. we can't have any governments in charge of us, because then they'll say, well, you can't do this one, because that's not our ally right now.
Right.
Or, we want this in charge. And Tony Stark, Iron Man, is saying, hey, we just need someone to keep us in check, because left unchecked, bad stuff happens. Which is funny from Tony Stark, because he's pretty much the cause of Ultron.
Everything.
That was his fault.
See, I mean, that's why I was confused. I always thought that it was reversed, where Captain America is more lawful, was like, we need laws, and Tony Stark, who's more kind of chaotic good, is more, we don't need laws. That's why I was fucked up with when I was like, oh, wait, no, they're completely opposite. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But I'm sure they'll explain it to me in better.
But it's actually interesting, because it's almost like they both know their strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
Like, Captain America doesn't need to be police to do the right thing. He just does the right thing.
Sure.
And Tony Stark says, yeah, I wouldn't mind someone making sure I don't make another Ultron.
Right.
Yeah, if you're a paladin, you want to be judged by your own code, not the law's code. That
exactly, and that's and that's what it really is.
Okay.
The other thing is that Tony Stark doesn't really have powers, so, and everybody knows who he is, and how are they going to be able to regulate his machines? I mean, they are the country pretty much already regulates his weapons, but. So he's already under some scrutiny.
Does that make sense? It was an amazing movie. Go back and watch Iron Man again.
It was good. Yeah, it was super good.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is why I get confused, is because these movies do connect, which is cool. I'm not complaining at all. I'm just, when I have these memories of the movies, it's easy to get them mixed up. Because I was remembering when Scarlet Witch was helping out stopping Ultron, but then I was also remembering the creepy, like, wizard folks that were in the last, you know, like doing magic-y things in the last Captain America, and you guys said that was Scarlet Witch.
Not sure which one you're referring to there.
Remember in the Hydra, there was like a flash image of these people that looked like they were like doing wizardy stuff.
Yeah, like one is basically just running really fast, so you could look at him being like, oh, he's kind of teleporting, and one is like, and she's picking up like and manipulating blocks and stuff with her. Yeah.
Well, that's at the end of one, isn't it?
Oh, that's at the end of...
Oh, and that's the end of two, and then.
See, and so now... But that was Scarlet Witch, was it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, but that's also was at that point for working for Hydra, or at least controlled by Hydra.
No, they described how in Winter Soldier, was it? Or Age of Ultron. In Age of Ultron, they talked about how Hydra saved them when she thought that the bad guy, or Iron Man, killed all her parents and stuff. So, yeah, she was being led to believe that Iron Man killed her parents and that she needs to fight him. So.
Yes.
Cool. So, but we're going back in time in this movie then.
No, because at the end, in the Age of Ultron, she figures out, wait, this Hydra's douchebags. They're lying to me. I'm going to work with Iron Man and all these other people. Remember? Right. That's how they stopped Sokovia from falling and stuff.
Okay. Right. Okay, so in order to see the full story of Scarlet Witch, if you will, you had to go from Captain America to the Age of Ultron, and now it continues on.
Yes, because she's only been in those two movies.
Right.
Yep.
I guess I just didn't draw the strong enough connection with in the Age of Ultron.
Right.
Which now I'm with. See, that's why I asked. Thank you, guys. Man, this is good.
I mean, you got to go. This will be the 13th movie. In a series. Yep.
Right, because and then all the movies kind of mention the whole Infinity Saga that's going to happen, which you'll need to know kind of all the movies for.
Yes.
Which they're changing the name to?
Which is fine. That's fine with me. Because Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2, they basically are changing the names because they want people to know it's not one story, that there's going to be the Marvel type cliffhanger where they show something ends, a plot ends, and then they show something to continue to the next movie. But they want them to know that one movie is going to be one complete movie. It's going to you're going to watch it and be like, wow, you're going to feel satisfied watching that movie. And then the second one is going to feel like a completely different movie.
Okay.
It's not going to be like the movie Split we talked about last week.
Yeah, I was going to say, Harry Potter, book 7, part 1.
Yes. And they really want to make that, that's why the part 1 and part 2, they really want to make it so that people are not annoyed with it. Because it is a whole year. It is May 4th, 18, and May 3rd, 19. So it is a whole year apart.
Right. So it's kind of, yeah, it does factor into what we were talking about last year, or last week, sorry.
Yep.
How many new characters is Ryan going to have to brush up on?
I don't think they're going to have any for this movie, are they?
Black Panther.
Yeah. But you kind of know what's going on with them. If you watch any of the other movies, they've referenced his homeland many times.
That homeland is Wakanda, Ryan.
Yeah.
And which movie was that talked about?
That's where Storm is from.
Many movies.
Age of Ultron. Remember they had the huge fight in South Africa. It's really close to there. The cool part is, it's Wakanda is like the opposite of like it came out in the 60s. It's funny that it actually came out like a whole year before the Black Panther Party came out.
Uh huh.
And like they could have went like, we could try and sue them over the name Black Panther, but. Yeah, they're the Black Panthers. Let's just say they're cool.
Let's not sue the militant organization over here.
Which I thought was pretty cool. But yeah, it's basically he's from Africa. It's like the only known place of vibranium, which Captain America's shield is made out of, which has like cool property where it can absorb sound and stuff like that. So that's why when in the first Avengers, when Thor jumped and hit him full square with Mjolnir, his hammer. It's like it just made a huge thing, but it didn't actually hurt him because it reflected the sound away.
Vibranium,
yeah. It's cool metal.
It's kind of like mithril, but different.
Yeah, it's like mithril, adamantium, any of these made-up cool metals.
They explained it in the first Captain America.
Yes. Yeah.
So that name is funny. I was thinking this. It makes the finest dildos in all the land.
It would.
Right. But it's an African nation that is super, super wealthy. Technologically
xenophobic, aren't they?
They're not xenophobic. They're fine. Isolationists would be a better term. So
Black Panther is the king of Wakanda.
Yes.
And Storm is the queen of Wakanda.
Well,
or princess.
She was the queen for a while. They've since gotten a divorce and all that stuff.
A royal divorce.
But technically, there's a relationship between Storm and...
Sure, but she's not in this
franchise. But she's not in this because X-Men are not in this.
She's not X-Men, right. Yeah. So, and Ryan's favorite's going to be in the movie. It's going to be awesome. Mr. Ant-Man is going to be...
Ant-Man. Oh. Cool. Yeah. I saw the extended trailer with when they're bringing in Ant-Man and they're introducing him. And he's just like, Cap, so great to meet you. This is a really, really, truly honor, man. I'm really honored.
The best part about that part is like when he turns around and Scarlet Witch is right behind him, he's like, "Oh, you're great too."
Yeah. Or the best thing is like he like apologizes to Falcon. He's like, "Dude, I'm so sorry about that one time. I promise it'll never happen again.
Yeah, right.
Like you didn't beat me. You didn't beat my ass. Sorry."
That was probably the most endearing part of Ant-Man, where he's like, I have to fight an Avenger. Oh, shit, I'm going to go fight an Avenger.
Right. I went in Ant-Man 2, and he was like, how about we call the Avengers? Yeah, call the Avengers. This is not for me. I'm just a guy who steals things.
Right. Yeah, because that's always the complaint. Just call somebody else.
Right.
Cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be amazing. And I'll be at the theater early because for some reason we have to sit there and get our seats and not have them chosen for us. Hey. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's going to be different. Usually we have our own seats picked out and we get a little ticket that says the number on it. Now we have to stand in some sort of line like it's like the 90s or something.
I think they call it a queue.
Right.
What is this queue?
It'll be fun though. I can't wait.
Yeah, Ryan. So give you a little background on Black Panther. He's like the chieftain of the Wakandan Panther tribe. They eat like a special heart-shaped herb to get from their that gives them a mystical connection to the panther god. Makes them superhumanly acute senses, strength, speed, agility, stamina, durability, healing reflexes. He's a skilled hunter,
farmer.
Yep, skilled hunter, tracker, strategist, politician, inventor, scientist.
I think you just named everything.
Right. Has a PhD in physics from Oxford. Is considered one of the 8 smartest people on the planet.
Damn.
So take all the Avengers and roll them up into one, and you got Black Panther.
That's actually, that's a different element. I didn't know he was smart. I just thought he was fucking
fight, yeah,
dude.
Like,
but being super smart and a fighter, dude, that's like fucking right. Deep Spawn level right there. That's sweet.
Oh,
right. Like, it is like, it's crazy because they have like the whole, they have like the Illuminati in Marvel Comics, where it's like Black Panther and Namor and Mr. Fantastic, Doctor Strange. Basically, these guys are like super, super smart and super powerful that are like behind the scenes doing things to like push humanity in certain directions and protect humanity from like extra dimensional threats like Thanos and stuff like that. So that's really cool that they could go that place. I mean, they don't have Mr. Fantastic, but Black Panther, they're going to have Doctor Strange. They could have. Yeah.
And Black Panther's getting a standalone eventually? Is that they'll probably talk about this? I'm assuming they don't need to talk about this for here.
Right.
There's like, here's the character, here's what he does. We'll tell you his backstory later.
Yeah, because this year,
it's the best way to do
Civil
it.
War, Doctor Strange, you know. Doctor Strange is in November. But then 17, they're tripling up on movies with Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
That's going
to
be
a new Spider-Man movie. Because Marvel has the rights to make Spider-Man movies. Sony finally said, like, okay, we know you can do them way better than us, so here's just Spider-Man.
Split the profits.
We'll split the profits, right. And then another Thor movie, Thor Ragnarok.
Isn't Ragnarok the name of a villain? Like, isn't that like
that's
Hulk
the
DNA or something like that?
Isn't it the cyborg version of Thor?
What?
Ragnarok.
Ragnarok. I'm sorry, not Thor, or not Hulk, but Ragnarok, right? Thor. Yeah, I'm talking about Thor.
Isn't he get like a cybernetic shit going on to him? So
what are you talking about?
I don't know.
Adam,
answer
the
question. What's
Ragnarok? I thought Ragnarok was like using Thor's DNA to create something that they called Ragnarok. Is that not true?
So, yes and no. It depends, because it's taken on several iterations in the
all right, we'll go with that then.
So the actual plot that is being presented out for us right now is Thor returns to Asgard when his home realm is threatened by Ragnarok, which is a Norse apocalypse.
Well, sure.
So
right.
Is it going to be, you know, a single person type thing, cyborg type thing, you know, because the Asgards have advanced technology,
magic,
or is it something else? We're not quite sure. They haven't quite.
All right. Well, we got several years to talk about that. So
yeah, because that's
let's put a pin in that one.
Yeah.
Right. Because that one's 17, and then we have Black Panther, Avengers: Infinity War 1, and Ant-Man and Wasp, and 18.
Hey, so. Speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, this is another movie you might remember, Ryan.
love that
the one with the little talking rat.
The second one
is a raccoon.
Who's going to be his dad? Star-Lord's dad. Who do you think that they're talking about? I have no idea about that universe. I don't know much. Is that supposed to be some like fucking Asgardian or something? Or
so in the comic book series, his dad is was a prince, now king of this entire like planet, and his name was like what, Jason or something like that.
Yeah, but it's Jason, kind of like John Jones, where it's apostrophe S-O-N.
I know, it just sounds so anti. I'm the king of an entire planet. They call me Jason.
It's the 70s. James Gunn has already come out and said that's not going to be him. Right. I've got a different storyline that we're going to do. So
Christopher Walken.
You know, it's I don't think they've. Don't think they've released or said who's the actor playing the dad.
I don't care about the actor. I'm just curious what we think about it's going to be the actual, because he's obviously not human.
Right.
He came from the stars and impregnated his mom and then left her and she went crazy. So who is she?
She died of cancer.
Now who's he?
Did he give her cancer?
Fuck yeah. If you're going to bone an angel
space
or an alien,
cancer.
You're going to get cancer.
Yeah, like, because there could be a lot of things, because.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, because basically most of the alien races in Marvel look human, which is, you know, could be said of, it could be the Star Trek thing, where it's just
seeding
like,
planets.
Everyone's seeded from the same thing.
Yeah. It's the easiest explanation for awesomeness.
It's not Kree. I can guarantee Kree or blue. Kree are blue, and they're been really strong in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I thought has been pretty good lately.
It's been really good, actually. It's interesting how they're. I think I watched last night. I did, and they're not tying this much as much into Civil War as they did.
Right.
Captain America: Winter Soldier, or no, or Age of Ultron. I don't know. The one that they did before was really.
Yeah, good. Civil War came out. Right, boom, all of S.H.I.E.L.D. got destroyed, and that was like the mid-season thing where it's like, oh, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s destroyed.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that's Marvel. Marvel is going to be with us for many years, and it's going to come to a point where we're like old men, and we're like, Marvel's coming up with a movie next year, and we may not know if we're going to live to see that movie because we're so old. And the only thing to live for is to hang on to see that movie.
Right.
Let's hope Star Wars is the same way.
Yeah, no end in sight there either.
Yeah, because we went to the mall the other day, and it was weird. We were walking around the mall, and I'm like, I haven't been to the mall in a long time.
Let's go to the mall.
Right, and we were talking about, me and Tiffany were talking about stuff. We're like, yeah, Disney owns all of Disney stuff, owns Warner all of Bros. Marvel stuff, and owns all of Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, they're rich.
It's ridiculous that they own so much, but I'm really glad that they haven't tried to push anything. They're just like, we own you, totally cool, keep doing your thing, it makes us a lot of money. Star Wars, hey, here's a bunch of money, do your thing, you're gonna make us a ton of money. It's so much stuff that they own.
It does seem like they do a good job of letting things do what they should do, you know. Right. I don't know, it feels like the direction, actually, you know what it is, it seems like it takes the direction that the fans want, maybe more, or that's fan friendly and less sort of, I don't know what else it would be, but I get that impression.
It doesn't seem like it's driven as much by just profit. Like, you guys will know better than I, at least the Daves. Was it Marvel where the guys were, there was somebody in charge and he was like, he restricted the budget or whatever, and he didn't, and then they're like, no, just you're going to report just the mates, the top guy from now on, or somebody that's in charge of the entire franchise. Yep. What am I thinking about there?
Yep, that's Kevin Feige, like the basically the big producer, like the brain, the big mind flayer, if you will, behind like all of Marvel, the MCU. Yeah, he basically had more than one boss that he kind of reported to, and that wasn't working for him. So he let it be known that he wanted to report to one guy, and then they made it so he just reports to the top guy and says, here's what we're doing. We're doing this. We have made you so much money. Basically, if you just keep letting us do our thing,
you could
fail on all the rest of your projects and you will still make a profit for the year.
He presented it to them as a, hey, this is sink or swim. You know, either, you know, my idea is going to work, which is great. You guys can have all the money in the world, but if it doesn't work, fine. I'm out the door. I'll leave. You know, you can get rid of me, do what you want to do. So for them, it was a win-win situation to just go ahead and go with it.
That speaks to Ryan's point, how they're doing everything right. And instead of having overhead or somebody that's just like, I'm in charge of the money and you got to answer to me, they're like, no, this guy's doing a good job. He can just answer to the main guy. You're fine. Yeah.
And DC, you know, not to knock them totally down, they're trying to do that.
Poor DC.
Problem is they're 10 years behind in doing it.
Yeah.
You know, they finally brought in Jeff Johns to lead this. But Jimmy the problem is he's probably still reporting to like 4 or 5 people.
Right.
So
I don't know. It seems like every time DC takes a step forward, Marvel pushes them 2 steps back.
Right. What I've noticed too is like, if you go look at the list of like the guys who have directed Marvel movies, there is not a crazy huge director. I mean, Jon Favreau is a huge director, stuff like that. But if you look at the other directors that direct them, they're smaller named people that have made quality work in television or smaller movies. People that are willing to go, we want to do our vision of this, but we understand that we will work within this tapestry that you have, this overall vision that you have, but we will do our thing within this thing. Well, oh, cool. We'll make Ant-Man super quirky and fun within the vision of the Marvel universe.
Right.
Or we'll make this within, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. We'll make our own weird thing. Cause that guy, James Gunn, the guy who did that, he started out directing trauma movies, like super low budget, like
that's
movies.
Usually low budget.
Yep.
So it's no J.J. Abrams with Star Wars and Star Trek.
No, it's a trauma movie.
Trauma is like a super independent thing. They made like Toxic Avenger and weird ass shit from like the stuff that I used to watch on like have to rent it from the like the it wasn't it was like in the cult like the cult section of the video store because it was super weird and they'd make them for like this movie cost $100,000 or this movie cost
cheaper than that. Yeah, but yeah,
and DC seems to be like, let's get some big name people to direct our try and direct our movies. And then when you have big name people who make big movies, they have a lot of ego,
big failures,
big ego and stuff like that. So like my vision is the way that they're going to do it. And they don't seem to be putting aside their creative vision for the greater vision of the universe that they're trying to make as a whole.
Well said. Well said.
Thanks.
Round of applause.
No, thanks. I'm not applauding that. That
why? What are you talking about?
Because I don't applaud you ever. You know that.
Oh, you. Hey, if I lose, I will rip your arm out of a socket.
That's true.
Chewbacca.
Speaking of, so I want to get to Game of Thrones pretty soon here, but before Ryan leaves, I want to answer from Ryan on this question. All right.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Other people can answer after Ryan, but Ryan, you have to answer this question. Civil War is upon us. The group is in civil war, and we're going to add Mitlo. Mitlo's it's us five and Mitlo, and we're going to divide in two teams of three that make it the evenest fight possible. Ooh. Now we're in a warehouse. There's a bunch of supplies, no guns, just a couple you can makeshift weapons, that kind of stuff. What are we dividing three on three in a giant civil war that makes it the most even fight possible?
That's interesting.
Or if you think it's supposed to be four on two or five on one to make it even, that's fine. Ryan on everybody makes it
even. Yeah.
But three on three seems about good.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I kind of feel like I'm just going to work it out loud so that it's not me just thinking quietly.
Okay.
I feel like Mitlo and I have similar qualities and characters. You know, like I could see him. I'm going to say me and Mitlo balance each other out. All right? Start right there. Me and Mitlo, opposite sides.
All right.
Team captains.
Just giving each other evil looks, you know. You're going down, bitch. By the way, that's my methodology here. It gets a little trickier. That one was hard, but now I'm going to say, I feel like I'm going to actually come here. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say Dave and Adam. Both have a sort of physicality and brutalness that balance. You know what I mean? Like if I needed break something physical, like, hey, this thing is like made out of stuff and I needed to be broken into two pieces, I think you guys would both be pretty good at that.
Which Dave?
Yeah.
Dave? Oh, sorry. This is challenging. I'm thinking Klinger. Klinger on this one. Klinger, I think you can get – you're a renaissance man. Don't get me wrong. But you can get physical and down and dirty and break some shit.
Physical.
You know, so I'm going to split those up. I don't know.
Okay, you split them up. Where are you going to put them? Who's on who?
That's tough. Adam pisses me off sometimes when we're playing League of Legends, so I'll take Dave. Okay.
All right. All right.
That only works to my favor.
And then it kind of we got to put and then we'll balance it out by this is tough. Basically, those two fight and it's pretty even. Now it gets tricky. I think we'll have to put Chris. So now we're gonna do synergies. I think Chris would synergize too well with Klinger. You know, you guys are like too mind melded.
Attack, so make... Delta, go now!
Right, so that would be too overpowered.
Cripple legs now.
So we push Chris with Mitlo and Adam, and D2 joins me and the Daves. So we do have double Dave power. Right. But I think we have a pretty good match there. I don't know who
would
call
ourselves Team Mac.
Right. All right.
Okay, so we got Ryan, Dave, and Mitlo against D2, Adam, and me. Is that correct?
No.
No.
I got something wrong?
Yeah, it's Ryan.
Ryan and the Daves.
Ryan, Dave, and D2 against Adam, Mitlow, and me.
Yes.
Yeah. You guys are so fucked. You call that even?
I think it's pretty close. I'm just playing.
That was a good job.
Right.
Well thought out for being on the spot there.
First
anybody
of all,
have any other comments on the Civil War we're about to have?
Cripple Adam, no escape.
Oh, yeah.
No one will no one will drive you away.
No, my boy got mad dexterity. You'll never catch him.
He's slippery, it's true.
Well, he likes
but he's also old. Stuff. And then that's when I'll open the laptop and I'll just like slide Minecraft
he's
towards
so
him.
Old.
we
he
have
just starts playing Minecraft. Like, God damn it, Adam.
You got one down.
One second,
nice
I gotta finish this time.
Right.
And Mitlo's just back there in some fucking weird yoga pose. He's holding it for hours.
We slide time clickers towards him and he
stops
playing.
God damn it.
Matt's playing time clickers again.
As long as they don't get the WB projected somewhere to distract.
The CW symbol. It's like, ah, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, the 100's on. I got to go.
Oh.
Okay, cool.
Flash and Arrow were so good this week. Thank you, CW.
I remember.
And next week, I think next week is the Kevin Smith episode.
Yeah,
Flash.
It is. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because he's talked about it so goddamn much.
And the thing is, it's going to be. I think it's going to be an interesting episode, man. It's going to be a lot of character.
I'm so not against them getting together, but we've already talked about that. So, on it.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I know. Like I didn't watch Arrow yet, so I'll watch that.
Yeah, I have to. I'll watch it after this.
Cool. Okay. Should we say goodbye to Ryan for a little bit and get to the meat
Ryan,
and potatoes of the
show?
Wait
a minute. So, do we have an update on where Ryan is?
I think he's done one episode.
I've done two. I've watched episodes. 2 of season 2 and episode 3 of season 2 and I can't remember how I watched 4. I might have watched 4 even. I think I watched 4 as well. So I'm making some progress.
So if you make 3 in a week, you know, it'll only take you
till next year.
8 more weeks.
That's progress. So episode 17, I'm looking forward to talking Game of Thrones with you.
Right.
Well, wait, no, because he needs to get through season 6.
Oh,
then, so
yeah, that's true.
That's another 3 weeks. So episode 20.
3 weeks,
episode
so it'll
20.
Be, 9 weeks. And by that time, it'll be over. So 9, 10, 11. You'll be two days into the 12th week before we could actually talk about it.
And how many weeks are there in a season?
3 months.
It's 10. Hey, yep. But actually, you'll be able to make up a week because there's not showing on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to make up episodes on that week.
So it looks like...
No, he'll be gone. He won't be watching anything.
Episode 19 or 20, then Ryan will be with us to talk Game of Thrones.
A vast, hey guys, I just fresh finished knowledge the season.
Of the previous seasons. So,
you'll forget about it all. So.
That's probably true. I forgot about it. At season like 4, 6, I forgot about season 1, 1, so I had to,
restart
from the beginning.
Okay, man. Put us on mute so we can fucking get into some awesome comment discussion about Game of Thrones that we wish you were here for.
All right, cool. And if you guys wrap up while I'm gone, have a good night.
What? No.
Come back.
Well, what if I have to take a piss or something and I don't see it, you know?
We'll go take
How long does it take you to take a piss?
He's been taking
2 hours.
4 hours. What the fuck?
It's a nightmare.
Nah, this is going to be this will be a cool discussion.
That's when
it'll be pretty quick.
Game of Thrones episodes.
Exactly.
All right. I'm going on mute now.
Later.
I assume he's on mute. Okay. Yeah. I don't remember the episode that well, so somebody's going to have to give me some quick recaps or just start talking about something that I'll remember it. So.
All right. Bran. Back.
Oh.
Opens up.
Oh, on the tree, right?
Yep.
Okay, so the thing I noticed about Bran is that he was holding on to the tree.
Adam's not moving. It's because... Go ahead, Adam.
So he's holding the tree, like whatever root of the tree, and the other old dude, I don't know who that is, but he's holding the tree too. Are they connected some way?
Yeah, he's the three-eyed raven.
Yeah, he's the three-eyed raven.
Okay.
Basically, you can see through, he can see where those trees are, the heart trees are, where the tree with the faces. Basically, he can project his mind to any of those things. And then it seems to be that they can project along the timeline of the tree as well.
Yeah.
Like, so back in time along the tree. So you got to see, you know, Ned Stark little kid, older brother Benjen, you know, his sister.
Hodor.
That was fucking
Willis.
Awesome.
Willis. Willis was, that it's was like, what you talking about, see. Willis?
Yeah.
And like the fact that he could, like, what happened to him? You're like, did he get brained by somebody? Did his, like, did magic spell get put on him?
I like to think he's fucking faking. He's faking the whole time, and he's just collected insight and intelligence. Nobody cares about the dumb guy, so he's just like, Hodor. Right. And he's going to be like, hold up, bitches. I know what's happening.
Trying to protect Ned's sister.
Right. Yes. I think yes. That sounds like a great thing. That Ned's sister, something happens to her. I still have my giants. Jon Snow is Targaryen, and like the daughter of.
There's been allusions to that. So.
Yeah. But
I like that tree thing. We haven't seen him. Was he even in last season? I don't think.
That's why he's like a full grown like adult now.
He looks completely different. He's a different person now. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's badass.
You got to see that dude's head get smashed into the wall.
The giant?
Like, right. Well, there's two heads smashed. The wildlings. Like, there's the one that dude was all like, when Queen Cersei was walking down, and I was like, and she looked at me with eyes,
holding
up my dick, and she was all like, and then he's taking a piss all drunk, and Robert Strong, who's the mountain's undead, you know, like reanimated corpse, smashed his face into the wall. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was good. And you saw that coming a mile away, too. You're like, he's just going to fucking brain him. Like, yep, there you go.
The giant, accidentally shooting the giant with it. He's like, oh, and the giant just picks him up and smashes him. I'm like, the dude's making jelly.
He's 20 feet tall.
Yeah, that's what I always think of when people are fighting giants in D&D. I'm like, you're just being picked up and thrown across the fucking room.
Right, he doesn't actually have to punch you. He just picks you up and throws you, and the damage you take from that is going to really hurt a lot.
Yeah.
What else was there that I really liked?
The fucking what's his name killed his dad.
Ramsay.
Yeah.
Ramsay's a fucking cockfag. What's that, Adam?
And then when he did the whole scene with the dogs in the dog kennel.
Yeah, Tiffany had dog cage. That one. She was like, "This is too overwhelming."
That was a rough one. Yeah. That was a rough one. I knew they weren't going to show anything, but it's still, you understand what's happening. So
yes, yeah, no, your mind makes it, you know, your mind makes the dots. Reality real.
Yeah, he's going to meet a, you know what would be awesome if they just don't kill him? He somehow inherits shit, and he's just a lord for the next 30 years.
Like, let's see, finally go back to the Iron Islands.
Dad. I don't remember who the fuck that. I don't know who that guy was.
It's Duron. His first introduction.
It was okay.
It's basically yes. It's Theon's uncle. It's the brother of the king.
And that's the first time he's been on the show.
Yes.
Was he in the books? I don't remember from the books.
Yep.
He was in the books earlier.
Like the first two books, because that's kind of where I stopped.
He was in this. Was the second one where Damp Hair was. Yeah, I think it's the second book.
I probably skipped it because we got bored. Okay.
Because even though he wasn't, they didn't really talk to him that much, I'm pretty sure that old guy, when they were pushing the body out to the water and say, like, hey, you know, give him back to the sea and stuff like that, the guy saying, oh, we're going to have a king's moot to decide who's in king. I think that guy has damp hair, which is, like, also related to the king, I remember.
Okay.
So,
but I could be
technically,
wrong.
Technically, isn't Theon king now?
Doesn't work that way on the Iron Islands.
That doesn't work that way in Iron Islands. Yep.
Yeah, they have an elective succession, it seems like.
Yes.
Is very rare here, where there was only like two countries that had elective successions in history. For monarchies.
Right.
The pirate captains come together.
Yeah.
And they hold the king's moot and choose who the next ruler is.
Right.
So
and it's usually the toughest, meanest of them all.
Right.
Which just happens to be Balin's daughter. At this time in the stories,
Yara.
But the whole question is, she's female, so.
Right? And this would be the first time a female. It's like there's no rules against it. It's just there's, you know, you could get into a whole, you know, a whole physiological thing that like are females as strong as men. I don't really care. She's a badass.
It's true. Okay.
And the big end, showing up. Well,
did we see Arya?
Oh, yes. She got beat up again. And
then
answer the questions correctly to come back.
Yeah. It's all like, dude, if you say who your name, I will give you a place to sleep.
I'll give you your fucking eyes back.
Right, and
that
then,
was
it,
the
and then it was like it was food, and then it was a place to sleep, and then it was your sight back. And she's just like, I'm no one. She's gonna be queen of the badasses pretty quick.
Very easily. Yep. It's going to be definitely.
And she's gonna have, and the thing is, she might be one of the first people who's like still retains. She's gonna be like no one, but still retains just that bit of like, you know. So when she can murder the right people, she'll be like, hey, by the way, Arya Stark.
Yeah, because she's everybody else just kind of fucking around. She's been gaining levels this whole time. She's coming back 100%. At a lot higher level.
Okay. And she's taking like class as an assassin and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, she never split from the party. She's always actually been in a party, you know, where the others kind of split off on their own and
Bran has always had people with him too, but
so the ending. wildlings show back up. We're gonna kick some
fucking ass. And I literally like that they were like the brothers, they're like, we're not going to fight.
We can't beat them.
We understand. Yeah.
Right.
You just smashed a guy into the wall. Yeah, we're done.
And they basically say to him, Davos is like, hey, I don't really like you. You don't really like me. I don't really believe in all your stuff. But if he can do it, bring him back. And she's like, I don't know. I've never done it before.
I really liked it because it was, you know, it's not me having faith in your God. I have faith in you. Right. I've seen you do things. You know, he's really given her the confidence to at least wake up from this funk, whatever she's in, to try. And then I liked at the end, they're like, oh, it didn't work. And everybody kind of silently leaves the room.
That part annoyed me. Because I saw that. You see that coming. You're like, he's not going to come back. Everybody's going to leave. He's going to wake up. That's kind of annoying me. Like, hey, guys, give it a minute. All right. Rituals take at least a minute. Give it a fucking minute.
For E, they take 10 minutes.
His wolf is the only one that actually sees it. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, so Amy, did Amy express her opinion on what happened there? Or did you guys understand what she was talking about?
Yeah, she thinks she like he sent his spirit into his.
Yeah, he warged into the wolf, and then when his body was ready.
Yeah, and I've thought about this a lot. In the books, you have a lot more time to explain that stuff like that. But giving a lot of people a lot of power, giving a lot of people the similar powers or the same powers to
but
be
it's
back.
The same family. That family has that power. Yeah. We know that.
Right. Right. But it makes the person like
less powerful.
Because it's more common, it makes it less unique.
Sure.
So I don't know.
I think it was a good idea. I just don't know if that's what happened. So.
Right.
I don't think it did based off of some of the things that some of the hints that they were showing in the show. The you know, Ghost is immediately upset when it's taking place and he's whining and crying.
Or is he crying because he's now fucking Jon Snow being like, let me back into my fucking body, you sons of bitches. It's all interpretative. That's why.
Yeah. I guess
we never saw his eyes roll. That was the one thing that where it's like, I don't think it happened. When he died, his eyes never rolled white.
Sure. They're not white, but they rolled back because he died.
Right. No, because it's like on the first episode, his eyes were wide open.
Yeah,
right. They never rolled white.
Brought the body in
because when they went down that big tracking shot straight down, all the warging has showed us that they roll their eyes roll back because they've made it very visually. You know, this happens when this happens.
Sure, that's cool.
So
what about
just like Tormund left, and then Davos left, and then finally she left, and the only one there, good old Ghost, hanging out. His wounds didn't really heal, though. So they were still there. They were just wiped clean.
Right. Well, they probably, I don't know. They looked pretty fucking deep, too. Right.
And it was funny. Someone already translated it because someone made up that language she's speaking. And so someone already translated it, like what she was saying. It was basically like, you know, hey, darkness needs light. You know, fire needs ashes, stuff like that. Basically, give us back, bring him his soul back to him, and stuff like that. It was pretty interesting that someone they made a language up. There's people whose jobs that is
very
is
Tolkien
like, to make fake languages is pretty awesome.
Or Klingon like.
What? Oh, speaking of Klingon, I think Paramount was getting sued for something.
They're saying that Klingon is a universal language, so Klingon it's not.
Jaka.
It's not prone to, because it was a group that made the Klingon language, not one company.
KLI, Klingon Language Institute.
So Paramount can't own it.
That's cool. Well, if we're done with Game of Thrones, we should bring Ryan back. Are we done? Right. Do we have anything else to say? I think it was a good episode. I wasn't like amazed by it, but it was still a fucking good episode. So.
Right.
Yeah. I'm excited for next week.
Yeah, I think next week will be fucking good because finally snow's back, right? And shit.
Yeah. What's everyone?
We're gonna see Daenerys finally get back to.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yeah, this seemed like a kind of, and they usually do this big opening. Second one's a little bit of a lull, more story, and then the third one will have a little bit more going on. So
right, it's like when you're making a kick-ass mixtape. Start off strong, and then you cool it down a little bit.
Yeah,
and then you bring it back up.
Cool. Hey Ryan, I'm gonna wave to you. And now I'm gonna give him two thumbs up, thumb down, one thumb up, and one thumb down. Now both thumbs down. Now both thumbs in your butt. Okay, what were you saying about the... Okay, Dave brought up the Klingon language?
Right. What do they call it? They call it the Language Society. It's basically disputing that the Language Creation Society filed a complaint against Paramount Pictures in federal court or the copyright of the Klingon language. Arguing that is a real language, it is now basically spoken by enough people that is real made, that is no longer subject to copyright. Because languages cannot be copyrighted.
That's fucking awesome. Because to learn that language, you had to buy basically everything that Paramount put out. And only what Paramount put out.
This is basically, they said, the group called the Language Creation Society claimed in the U.S. federal court that the Paramount Pictures lacks the Yabang Chut.
Yeah.
Find property law necessary to claim copyright over the Klingon language. The fact that they use that as their in their argument,
these people are
pretty
awesome. Yeah, they're amazing. If you enjoy the Klingon language, take a look at the Klingon Language Institute, where you can become a member and you can learn all kinds of useful phrases.
Right, and then Paramount is now countered, claiming that Klingon was not copyrightable as a useful system by arguing the language is entirely fictitious and did not have a practical use.
Oh, bullshit.
Right. Yeah, it's like the argument is absurd since language is only useful if it can be used to communicate with people, and there are no Klingons with whom to communicate.
Sure, but there are many, many people that speak at least rudimentary Klingon, and many that speak more or like are fluent in it and go to get jobs teaching shit like in linguistics at universities. Because most of the members are highly trained people who, like linguistic people who study language and stuff like that.
And now are employed by the CIA to give coded messages.
Yeah, Klingon's awesome. Everybody should learn some phrases.
And they're basically like the super simple way of the arguing of like they're no Klingons are like Latin. No one speaks Latin anymore, but why do we keep why is that a language that can't be copyrighted?
That's a good point. Good point. We speak Latin, but we only speak Latin in schools for no reason and to prove how smart you are, I guess.
Right, to say in courts of law, and they're like habeas corpus,
quid pro quo.
Right.
I don't understand those words.
Skid row bro.
Oh, of course. So Ryan, did you enjoy your time away from us?
It was pretty good, thanks for asking.
Did you watch any Game of Thrones while you were gone? Thrones.
I started it up. I'm just at the point where Theon is taking Winterfell, and I remember from watching it the first time that he's about to become very evil, and he's kind of a douchebag of douchebags.
Oh, it only gets worse.
Yeah, I think I guess I don't know what's new, but he pretty much maxes out max level douchebag pretty fast.
Right, but it's cool. Like, he max level douchebag pretty quick, but in comparison to people, you're like, not that bad.
Really?
He's a douchebag, but he's just not that bad.
Yeah, Joffrey is you guys probably, I don't know what happens to him in the future, but Joffrey's a douchebag too. They do a good job of emphasizing the douchebaggery of the douchebags in Game of Thrones.
Yes, they do a good job.
Yeah, that's why I'm pretty sure that they're going to take one of those douchebags that's a super douchebag and just let him win and live and win. And
like win at life.
And then the audience is going to be like, what the fuck? He never got his comeuppance. I want people to get their comeuppance.
Yeah. That would be painful. Yeah. If like in the end, like Joffrey, like just was the man, or I don't know, pick something. He writes the final book. All the people you like die. because they do a lot, but all of them, and then the douchebags like survive. That would right. be
and it's just the ends with like life sucks.
Yeah.
The end.
Really...
Right.
Stop bitching about me finishing like, my books.
You want me to finish my book? You got
I
it.
I got fantasy football to enjoy.
Suck it. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we're getting kind of low on time. Anybody got any parting thoughts or any other subjects to bring up before we take off?
Say hello to your mother for me.
That's how Mark Wahlberg sounds. It's like, how'd oh my God, it? This dog can talk.
Bees? What happened to all the bees?
Say hello to your mother for me.
Oh yeah, park the car in Harvard Yard.
Yeah, park the car in Harvard Yard.
Yeah.
Say hello to your mother for me. Still not it.
Still not it.
No. I think those are parting words. I think I'm guessing that was parting words.
That works for me. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us again this week. We'll be back next week with Civil War spoilers and talking the shit out of that show. It'll be awesome, and you don't want to miss it. If you have any comments or questions or just want to yell about how crappy we are, give us an email at geeksnextdoorftw@gmail.com. geeksnextdoorforthewin@gmail.com. That's what that stands for. Facebook page, that's there. Share this with people who are awesome like you. And that's it. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
As Cutie Pie says, Lasgo.
Lasgo.
Big dick love.